social affairs and other issues other media intentionally overlook. Find the episodes on iTunes Podcast and Google Play Music. Only on your station for Jazz and Justice, 89.3 FM, Washington.
Welcome to The Collision.
The Collision, where sports and politics smash. Thursdays at 10 a.m. and on iTunes and Google Play. WPFW, Washington, D.C.
Welcome. This is Joni with To Heal DC. Today is Monday, the last day of Women's History Month, Monday, March 31st. And we are there We're there now, and the people are going to start to turn it around. We have a great show lined up for you today. We're going to start off in a moment with Pam Rogers from In Process. She'll be talking about what In Process is. They're celebrating their 45th anniversary. She's going to kick us off with a song in a moment. And later on in the hour, we're going to be sharing with people who participated in the Women of Courage Awards last night in honor of Mamie Till Mobley, who was Emmett Till's mom. A very, very inspiring show last night. But let's kick it off with Pam Rogers opening us up with a song. Take it away, Pam. Can you hear me?
I'm muted. Oh, yes, I can. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Take it away with a song.
Good morning. Oh, I can start right out singing. So I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing Welcome Table for you.
Okay.
I'm gonna sit at the welcome table. I'm gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days. Hallelujah. I'm gonna sit at the welcome table. I'm gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days.
Okay.
Is that enough?
Yes. Sorry, folks. I've had a lot of challenges this morning. We had to change things around at the last minute, but we're so happy to have Pam. Pam, tell us about In Process. Tell us who you are and a little bit about your history, and then we'll talk about what's coming up.
So in 1980, you know, the women of Sweet Honey and the Rock called together a women of the district, you know, invited women from the District of Columbia and the surrounding area to come to a workshop. And then, they were traveling all over the world and they were getting, you know, wanting to share their gifts with their local community, you know, and establish, you know, where they were actually located from. So there was an invitation put out and about 30 women or so showed up to this workshop. And a year later, they presented that group in concert. And then that group decided that they would name themselves In Process. So, and that was the beginning. And I think Sweet Honey mentored the group. They became like the teachers. They alternated teaching music. But it was not just music. It was also talking about, you know, African-American history, about community issues, and how we need to be out there supporting community change in DC. So it turned out from a workshop into kind of hitting the streets and doing things like Take Back the Night and supporting, you know, South Africa freedom and you know, all kinds of issues that we support. We support is homelessness, also worked with RAP Incorporated. So, you know, we work with a lot of community groups to really further the work that the groups were doing. And we even worked in with environmental, in the environmental area. We, you know, were part of a effort to clean up the Anacostia River and created a film that, a documentary about cleaning up the river. So we're still here. We're still 45 years later, we're still singing. We're still, you know, supporting community activities. And you know, we are celebrating all of the women who have passed through in process in all these 45 years. So we're coming together to do that. And we're just really blessed to have been here this long.
Absolutely. And I want to also thank Pam. She for quite a while was a producer for To Heal DC. So she's definitely part of our family and definitely part of the WPFW family. The song that Pam mentioned about the Anacostia River is a beautiful song. We won't play that today, but hopefully we'll play that around Earth Day, which is coming up soon. But you have some exciting new things that are going to be taking place. Tell us first about the what's happening in the near future with a special exhibit that you're doing.
We do have an exhibit, and Camilla, our curator, who's part of the exhibit, and she supposed to be a part of the show. She actually is calling me, so I think she has the wrong number to call.
There's no number. Our phones are not working.
Oh,
so the phones are not working. That's what we've had some challenges. So it's only Zoom if she can't get on by Zoom. Yeah. So anyway, we still have about 10 minutes left with you if she can't get us. Anyway.
Okay. Yeah, so try to get on the Zoom link because the phones aren't working. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty. Thank you. Okay. So I'm sorry, but she was just trying to get in on the conversation. So just to continue, as part of our 45th anniversary, you know, I've just been wanting to just kind of acknowledge all of the things we've done, all the people who have come through, and all of the community work that we have done. And so I came together with this other group in DC, who are the Village of African American Doll and Puppet Artists. And they have also, all along the way, we've been in synchronicity almost, because we've always, you know, been at the same events and been doing things to educate the community and expand the culture, you know, and acknowledge our struggle. So here we are coming together in an exhibit at the Sandy Spring Museum, which is a local museum that focuses on the local culture and supporting that. And I don't know if you're familiar with Sandy Spring Museum, but it's very close. And it's based in an area that was, you know, has the stop on the Underground Railroad. They have the Underground Railroad Museum there. They have a slavery museum there. And then this museum that is also going to where they're hosting our exhibit. So one of the things that people don't realize about us is that we don't just sing. You know, we connect with people in many different ways, you know. And so I see a reflection of the what's happening in the community, in the craft that is happening. And so this exhibit is celebrating the music that we've created and also the craft that also demonstrates the same issues, such as social justice, environmental justice, you know, just so many things that are just basic things that the health of our community. And so we are really excited about this exhibit. And we're calling it As Long As I Have Breath in My Body, because it's really about, it's such so much a part of us, the singing and the creativity that we just wanted to celebrate it. And that was a song that was written by Dr. Bernice Johnson Reagan. And we just wanted to just celebrate her as well as part of what we're doing, because she was basically, you know, the leader of Sweet Honey in the Rock and the one who, you know, supported us over the years.
So Pam, tell us when this exhibit is going to start and when it's going to end, and how people can get more information. We'll keep talking about it, but just when is the kickoff opening?
The opening of the exhibit is this Sunday, April 6th at 1 o'clock. And information about the exhibit can be found on both the In Process website, which is www.inprocess.org, and also the Sandy Spring Museum, sandyspringmuseum.org, where you can go and register if you want to attend any of the events, because the exhibit is going to go from April 6th through July 20th. So there's going to be several months of activities and, you know, community engagement where people can come and just commune and look back at DC and the things that we've accomplished.
Absolutely. So that'll be this Sunday at 1:00. And how long does it go to on this Sunday afternoon?
It's 1 to 4.
Okay, great. We have about 5 minutes left. So let me ask you, it's very interesting to me, and I'm sure some of the other sisters out there, about dolls.
Yes.
Tell us about the doll aspect of this exhibit and what you're going to be doing.
Can you hear me? I don't have to think.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Just keep going with you, Pam.
I'm sorry. Okay. So, well, the thing about dolls is, our dolls have always been with us. And even if you look back, you know, when we were coming across in the Middle Passage, you know, we even made dolls, the women made dolls out of scraps of their clothing to comfort the children. You know, you come to the exhibit, you'll see dolls that are, you know, hands up, don't shoot. I mean, what's happening in our culture is represented by the craft and the things that our craftspeople are creating, our artists, you know. So you can see the chronology of our struggle when you look at the doll that had been created. It's almost like if you look at where we've come since desegregation, you can see that whole, you know, all of that being created by the landscape of the dolls. And we have some fabulous doll and artists in our community, as well as quilters that are going to be represented. Francine Haskins, who I think a lot of people know, who has her art dolls at the African American Museum. You can purchase them there. I mean, she's just known, you know, all over the country for her work. And she's going to have like a whole. It's like a exhibit that shows our chronology from, you know, of our community in represented in a doll exhibit. So, you know, you just learn so much from them, and you see like there's one that represents, you know, the what happened in Birmingham when the children this church was blown up and children were killed. So we can capture these moments in our history, and they remain with us, and use them as educational tools and to share, you know, keep people aware of what has happened. So there's just so much. And then, you know, just the craftsmanship of these works, some of them are like sculptures. It's really going to be incredible. So I just really encourage people to come and see it. So, and then we have, in support of that, we have our music. For example, you know, talking about the hands up, don't shoot, and then we have our music, which is, you know, we want a little bit of justice. And then, you know, we talk about, you know, we woke up this morning with our mind on freedom, and our music is right there accompanying the, you know, the craft that is being displayed.
So, yeah, absolutely. And we may be able to get Camille on. I think if she
I see, if
Camille can quickly unmute, we have a few minutes left, but if she can jump in, but perhaps you may want to say something, Pam, about Camille and the work that she's doing to support this exhibit.
Can you hear me?
Well, I see
no,
that you
we can't hear you.
We can't hear you, Camille.
So let's move on. I do want to
talk a little bit about Camille, and just that Camille is a curator who has curated many exhibits. And she has, we met years ago at working at the Smithsonian Folklife Festival. And she is, you know, currently a fellow there as well. So she has really guided us through all of this. And is she on? Because I looks like.
Okay, we're almost out of time, Pam. So let's just keep going again.
This is highlighting the artistry of the Village of African American Doll and Puppet Makers. And it's a visual storytelling, as well as you hearing the music of the time periods from the Civil Rights Movement, the Black Arts Movement. And, you know, this chronicles our history. And so this is a very historical exhibit. So you not only have the history of 45 years of In Process, but the history of 45 years of Black art in D.C. So that I consider that quite a accomplishment.
Absolutely.
I'm really excited about it. And both the musicians and the artists features are teachers and culture bearers, historians and entrepreneurs and healers. You know, I mean, they have been relentless in their efforts to uplift African-American communities and preserve the legacy of our artistic traditions. And we want to really have everybody come out and see what it is that we are presenting. We also just want to mention that In Process we'll also be doing a concert the following Friday in Tacoma Park at Carroll Cafe. And all of this information is available on our website.
Okay, great.
All the events.
And I'm being told by our wonderful Magic Mike that Camille can speak on the phone. Let's see if she can. We have about 1 or 2 minutes left.
Speak.
I'm sorry, that was quite a thing. Technology is something. But thank you so much, Joni, for having us. I'm in the car driving. Pam has had this dream for 10 years. And we're finally able to actualize it, which is wonderful. I know she was talking about the dolls. The dolls were repressed art forms, and the dolls and the puppets that women did, mostly women, but men as well, did in secrecy. And inside the dolls are the hopes and ambitions of people. We call them slave dolls, but they're much more than slave dolls. And it's a tradition that has been uninterrupted since it's one of the oldest traditions brought here by Africans. It's been uninterrupted for more than 500 years. And the contemporary doll and puppet and textile artists have brought it back to life. And that's what we are doing. And what we discovered is that people like Pam were both craftspeople and musicians, that the two things went hand in hand. So she's an example of the kind of people that we're showcasing in both the music and the craft. They're multifaceted people who've been keeping our heritage arts alive all this time. And it's time for her and the group to be honored.
Absolutely. And I'm really excited. I'm always been... I'll say a doll person since a child up till now. So I'm excited about this exhibit. So again, it's starting. Repeat again. It starts this Saturday at
Sunday
at 1 p.m.
Mm-hmm. At 1 p.m. we're going to have our opening ceremony, which will be also a memorial ceremony to Bernice Reagan, to Ivy Young, to Cynthia. Sands.
Okay, a lot of people so don't many know of, who those
oh,
people.
Okay, so,
Sweet Honey and the Rock ancestors.
Yes.
Right, Sweet Honey and the Rock ancestors and Dollmaker ancestors that we've lost. So Everybody will be represented. I hope that you all come. If you can't make the opening, then just wander through. It's a wonderful little museum in Sandy Springs, Maryland, and they're very committed to community arts and local culture.
Yes, it's really sounds like an important event. And again, yeah. Pam mentioned you're having a separate concert on April 11th. Is that correct?
Yes, we are having a separate concert at the Carroll Cafe in Tacoma Park, right across from the Tacoma Metro Station. So hopefully people will go to our website and get the information about the concert so that they can follow, hear us sing a full concert of songs that are related to the exhibit.
Okay, so this is what we're going to do, ladies. We're going to play a song from In Process. I think our other guests may be on the phone, but I don't know. And our phones, if someone could let me know if Jareeb, or I mean on the Zoom. So if she can't get on the Zoom, Pam and Camille will have more time with you. But let's go to that song, Mikey. Okay.
Thank you, Jen.
That's right.
Any way you can make it, mm-hmm. You keep on moving it on.
Any old way you can make it, baby, you keep on moving it on. Any old way you can make it, baby, you keep on moving it on. Any old way you can make it, baby, you keep on moving it on. Keep on moving it on. If you can fly, run. If you can run, walk. If you can walk, crawl.
Okay. So that was In Process singing one of their songs. And let's just see if we may have our other guest on the line with us. Last night, Chuck and I went to a very inspiring event. It was the Women of Courage Awards in honor of Mamie Till Mobley, and that's Emmett Till's mom. There were 18 women that were honored, including Joyce Ladner and Dory Ladner. We're going to hopefully hear from Dory's daughter in about 10 or 15 minutes. But there was a magnificent, one of the honorees who's very inspiring, is hopefully on the line. Jareeba, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Oh, thank goodness. All yay. Right. Okay,
apologies for the airport interference, which you're going to hear.
Okay, let's go. And Pam and Camila, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jenny.
Yes, you're welcome. So let's keep moving here. Jareeba, I'm sorry. Tell us about you. You're a very inspiring person, a longtime friend of mine. But tell us, first of all, about your work with the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation and also your work in Mississippi with the Workers' Health Program.
Yes, thank you so much, Joni, for having me this morning. I'm the executive director of the Mississippi Workers Center for Human Rights, and next year we will celebrate 30 years of standing on the side of the oppressed in the state of Mississippi, addressing all manners of oppression in the workplace, including discrimination, all kinds of backlash, all kinds of repression. And so I'm very proud to be a part of the Emmett Till Legacy Extended Family. I'm privileged to have represented two of the family members of Emmett Till in a petition that we filed in circuit court in LaFleur County to try to get Carolyn Bryant to force accountability and force her to be brought to justice. But unfortunately, because of cowards and because of a lack of accountability at all levels, she was allowed to die without being held responsible.
I'm sorry, Jeribo, as I learn every day, a lot of young people wouldn't know who you're speaking about. So tell our listeners.
Okay, I'm actually speaking about the 14-year-old boy, Emmett Lewis Till,
right, mm-hmm.
who came to Mississippi in 1955. And while he was there, he encountered Carolyn Bryant, who then went to her husband and her brother-in-law with stories about him that had sexual overtones. And as a result, he was bludgeoned, beaten, and lynched in LaFleur County, in Tallahatchie County, Mississippi. The two men who were tried, of course, were completely and totally found not guilty. Carolyn Bryant was never even served the warrant on her because it was said that she was a woman with children. Well, Mamie Till Mobley had one child, and no one cared about the fact that this Black woman lost her only child to the crime of lynching.
Yeah, so racism is, of course, alive and well, unfortunately. I was very inspiring, Jeribu Hill, to hear you last night get that award. So please tell us how you felt or something about this event. I'm going to ask Chuck Hicks to jump in as well. But
My goodness. Yes, sure. Well, first of all, when you've lived a long time and you tried to do the right thing, you tend to get a plaque here and there, an award here and there. But this award, in the name of Mamie Till Mobley, goes down as the most important award that I could have ever received in my whole life as a wannabe freedom fighter, as an advocate, as a people's lawyer. I am so proud to have accepted this award and to have been presented the award by my dear friend Keith Beauchamp, who is the visionary around many of the 20th century and 21st century Till parts of the struggle and lifting up the Till platform to make sure people know all about what happened to Emmett and what we have to address today. So I was super proud.
Of course, Jeribu, some listeners may not know. I know Chuck and I know Keith well. He was the filmmaker of the movie Till that came out a couple years ago. And Dory Ladner would want me to say that thanks to... my dear friend from Mississippi who introduced Keith to Emmett Till and made sure he made that movie. Lawrence Guillot is what we always like to thank Lawrence Guillot for talking with Keith for many, many years to make that film. Jeribu is at an airport now, so hopefully she can keep talking. But Chuck, did you want to jump in and say something about that event last night? Was so inspiring.
It was absolutely fantastic. It was engaging. And for those who didn't know, they learned many things. There are many things I met and learned about. I even met the oldest living resident person of Emmett Till's family, which is just quite an honor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's really something. We hope to have her on. And of course, Chuck, being from Louisiana and remembering when his mom told him that this young man was killed, is a memory of Chuck's that he'll always remember. So, Chuck, anything else you want to say about how amazing that event was last night?
I think it was just... it's earth-shattering in terms of all the efforts of what's going on and what is continuing to go on in Mississippi, and not only in Mississippi, but throughout the country. And these women who have not given up and are not afraid, they are here for the long run, and we're grateful to them and those who will come.
Absolutely. And, of course, what's continuing to go on, of course, is the racism. White racism in this country. This country was unfortunately, but truthfully, built on racism. So we're still continuing that fight. And we're very proud of Jeribu. I'm very proud of her.
Thank you, Joni. Thank you.
And, I'm going to start to cry, but it's very inspiring. Jeribu, tell us a little more about what you said last night and how meaningful this event was.
Yes, I want to also shout out to the Watts family, the Till cousins, Deborah, Terry, and Tia, for their extraordinary work with the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation. But for their efforts and the efforts of my good friend and brother, Keith Beauchamp, this light would not shine as brightly as it needs to expose those who have been culprits all along. And last night in my brief remarks, I did shine a light briefly on the fact that on both sides of the aisle, Joni, we were let down and betrayed. In December of 2023, the case was closed yet again under the administration that many trusted would do the right thing. And so we have just seen over the years the constant pushback and the constant lifting up and allowing Carolyn Bryant to be just protected, almost like in her own underground railroad. Four states protected her, and she was able to go from state to state without any consequences, holding barbecues and being the belle of the ball in her community. It was just bizarre that this woman, who was so linked to such a horrific crime, was celebrated in many ways by white supremacists and white collaborators with her who protected and shielded her, but also for those who were not accountable, who didn't have the courage to do the right thing, even when the warrant was found, it meant nothing. The warrant, which never expires in the state of Mississippi by statute, warrants do not expire. There it is with her name on it, along with the other two killers. And she was allowed to go to her grave without ever being held accountable. And so I said in my remarks, and I continue to say, that the Emmett Till story, the story of Emmett Till really is the story of our struggle in this country. And Joni, you hit it. You hit the nail on the head when you talked about how this country was established. And we should never forget how this country or this empire was established.
Absolutely. And, you know, you talk about the woman who accused this gentle and very inspiring young man, Emmett Till, accused him of, you know, horrific things that he did not do.
Right.
And the fact that she was allowed to let go. But as we know, we all know each and every day, there are other versions of Emmett Till happening every day.
Oh, so, yes.
So, and it was very inspiring too, Jeribu, that Deborah invited other families.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yes, and Johnny Mae Chappelle's son, Shelton, was there. And of course, he's a beautiful musician, and he's so brave and courageous, him and his sister and his family. They keep the memory of their mother, who was literally gunned down while walking home from church in Jacksonville, Florida. And I learned about Johnny Mae Chappelle through Keith's work that he continues to do to shine a light on these unsolved civil rights and human rights murders. So Shelton was there. I understand someone from Oscar Grant's family was present. There were so many family members of victims, and there also were formerly incarcerated activists like Pauline Rogers from Mississippi that I saw there, and I was so inspired to see her come all the way from Jackson to be a part and to celebrate us as we were being honored in this most amazing way. But yes, I think that the vision behind bringing the families is something that Deborah Watts has been really, really part of. This is her signature work, and we're very proud of that sister and her daughters for all that they do, and all those who help to sponsor bringing in these amazing freedom fighters and courageous survivors of such horrific things from long ago, and as you said, still happening today. They do a lot of work with the George Floyd family in Minneapolis, and they are just really trying to make sure that family members know that they are supported, that they're loved, that we are going to be there for them. We can't replace the family members they've lost, but we're going to be part of the extended family who lifts them up in any way that we can. So I just, again, hats off to Deborah, Tia, and Terry for their work. Terry did amazing communications work. All the images yes. that you saw, the flyers, the posters, all of that really, really was a celebration. And as Chuck said, it was just an amazing and inspiring event. And you also got to learn. You weren't just feeling good. You also were learning. And my daughter, Tangemana Knight, my son-in-law, Marcus mm-hmm. Knight, they were there with me. They flew in from Dallas to be a part of the celebration. And I'm just so lifted up. I tell you, nothing can push me down. I'm headed to Jackson. I'm traveling to Jackson. Mm-hmm. I'm going in as my individual self so no haters will go running to the government. I'm going as my individual self to help Antar Lumumba hopefully get reelected to the mayoral spot. Of course, his father wow. and I were very close friends and comrades, and we just hope that Antar is able to get back in, because what's coming, if he doesn't get back in, is just going to be just unacceptable. So we want to help him in any way. So I'm going to spend the night in Jackson, get up in the morning and go to the polling place and do some work on behalf of him as an individual. And I just hope that your program, I hope your program continues, because Joni, you have shined a light for so many years. And when you mentioned Sweet Honey and The Rock, longtime friends of theirs, I was able to share the yes. stage with them in with my group, Serious Business, and Pete Seeger and so many others who believed in the work of contemporary freedom singers allowed us to come into the mix. So yeah, I'm so excited about that event. I wish I could be a part of the event. I wish I could come and sit in the audience and hear the music and the artists that are going to be getting together with Pam and others. So
yeah, just, well, you'll be there with in spirit.
I will.
Us, Jaribo, and I hope you can stay on in about 5 minutes. We have Dory's daughter coming, but maybe put yourself on mute for a second, Jaribo.
Okay.
I'm just going to read something from that we received last night, beautiful quotes. And this is something from Emma Till's mom, Mamie Till Mobley. "We are only given a certain amount of time to do what we were sent here to do. You don't have to be around a long time to share the wisdom of a lifetime." So that's one of the beautiful quotes from Mamie Till Mobley. And I also wanted to say, And Chuck, it may be time for you to jump in as well. I also wanted to say, when the families that were impacted by this horrific violence were welcomed in, next year, Chuck, maybe we can organize with Deborah and with Jaribo to have some of our own families right here in the DMV that are shot down by the police all too frequently. And we know some of those families very well. So maybe sure. next year we can make that happen, is welcome the DC families who've lost loved ones due to horrific violence by the police. And Jaribo, you can jump back in. Again, Jaribo.
Yes, I think that's an amazing idea, and I'm sure Deborah would embrace it, because that's what they're all about. And it's good when you travel to a particular city to highlight the local atrocities and struggles that people have gone through. So that would be amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yes, and you can help me with that, Jaribo.
I will.
We have too many people that we know that are part of the PFW family that have lost loved ones by the police. And I wanted you to mention, I wasn't aware that there was an election for the very important mayor of Jackson,
yes.
Mississippi, who
yes.
we've had on this show. And that election is tomorrow?
Yeah, it's the primary, mm-hmm. and it is tomorrow. The polls open at 7 mm-hmm. and close at 7 p.m.
Well, that's certainly a very, very...
On April Fool's Day, no less.
Yeah, no less, but he can overcome that.
Yeah.
And I know that his dad passed in August. I don't remember what year, or maybe that was his birthday, but very, very important family there in Jackson, Mississippi, that are really carrying on the spirit of really what Mamie Till is all about.
Absolutely.
And hopefully, Jeribo, you can stick with us as we hopefully bring on Dori Ladner's daughter in a moment.
Yes, and I was so inspired by her words, and she looks so much like Dori. Oh my God, it was just scary almost. But she is the real deal, and her comments were just reminded you so much of Dori and her courageous voice and her convictions. It's very inspiring to hear her. I'd never met her before, and I was just really inspired to hear her.
Absolutely. So hold on. We'll hopefully have her on. And of course, many of our WPFWs know Joyce and Dori Ladner,
absolutely,
who are very, very much a part of this family. Dori was on a Lance Reynolds show every Saturday for years.
And, oh, wow.
Joyce was on as well. I wanted to just quote something that Joyce said last night, and we weren't able to bring her on quickly enough. But Joyce said in her comments, "A courage is not the absence of fear." And that's such a profound statement, because this was the Women of Courage Awards. It doesn't mean that these women are not fearful of the horrific things going on. But with that said, we want to welcome.
Hello?
Yes,
hi,
Yodit.
Good morning,
Yodit. We're so happy to have you on. Yodit, the daughter of Dori Ladner. And we were so proud of you last night.
Thank you so much. It was a wonderful occasion. I was so pleased to be able to represent my mother there. I'm very sad that she's not here, but I know that she would have wanted me to get up there and say something that made sense. So I hope that I did that.
And you did. And I just want to say, Yodit, that Dori is here with us in spirit. I certainly felt her last night. She was right there. She was very proud of you. So tell us a little bit what it means to you to have your mom and your aunt, Joyce, get that award last night. What does it mean to you?
It's actually so moving. A lot of the honorees spoke on this, but I'll reiterate it. Emmett Till was the spark that started the movement again, or at least for their generation. I can't remember a time I haven't heard known of Emmett Till, which means I've always heard of him since I was a child. It's a lesson I've been taught. And I knew his mother's strength. To be honest, I was, like I'm sure most every human being, horrified when I saw that photograph from Jet magazine of that beautiful boy who was tortured and abused in such an unbelievable way. And it happened in Mississippi, where they're from. So very close by. So it felt very personal. Of course, it felt personal to anybody. But, you know, when it's so close to you. So the fact that such an honorable woman as Miss Mamie Till Mobley, the organization is, well, the award is named after her, and what she went on to do in life, to be an educator and continue to, and was able to let go. I saw in one of the videos that she let go of, that the Lord removed the hatred from her.
Mm-hmm.
Not that she forgave, but that it was removed from her so it would not destroy her.
And so she could do the organizing that was needed.
Right. And I just know that means so much to them. My mom once got an award from, I can't remember the exact name of the organization, I'm sorry, but it was Fannie Lou Hamer.
Yes.
In her name. And that meant the world to her. And I know that this would have the same kind of meaning. It's
absolutely.
When you're recognized by your people that it really counts.
Absolutely. And of course, as we often say, Dori helped to recruit Fannie Lou Hamer into the movement. And was there in many frightening moments together with Fannie Lou Hamer. And I want to mention, too, of course, it was very moving, and I know you, Yodit, as well as Chuck, felt this when Joyce spoke. Very, very powerful statement that she made, and hopefully we can access Joyce's comments as well as yours and share it into the future. But it's just very inspiring to have two members, or really three, you, Yodit, Joyce, and Dory, all honored last night. Very, very inspiring. Chuck, if you want to jump in with Yodit, please do.
So she was, Dory would have been so proud. Dory, I could just see Dory beaming.
Yes, we could feel Dory there. She was definitely.
You were great. You outdid yourself.
Thank you so much.
And she did.
Dory was just beaming.
She was. That's why we know that Dory was there, because she was so, she is so proud of you. And maybe you might want to say something about your son as well.
That's what I was just thinking. I was able to bring my son as a guest, and Aunt Joyce was able to bring her grandson as a guest. And then we have a close neighbor mm-hmm. whose child is the same age. She's a girl. She's 14. Her name's Giselle. And so her parents bought her a ticket. And mm-hmm. so we had three 14-year-old teenagers with us.
Wow.
And it meant a lot to me. It wasn't exactly the same, but it, in a way, reminded me of the tradition that I was fortunate enough to grow up in. I used to grow up in SNCC meetings. Those are like early memories and just childhood memories. There was always an event or a meeting. So it's just part of your the hymn of your life, or the soundtrack. You know, it gives you strength, and it makes you who you are.
And Yodit, I'm sorry to say this, but tell people what SNCC is. There are some younger people. Sure. I even met somebody who never heard of Marion Barry. So we need to share with our younger folks.
SNCC. Absolutely. SNCC is the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. So exactly what it sounds like. It was made up and led by students. They were the big leaders, I guess you would say, were mostly college age students, but there were youth students in the movement as well.
Absolutely.
And there were nonviolent, that was part of the thing. And it was actually organized by the great Miss Ella Baker. There was the SCLC, the NAACP, and all of the various organizations at that time. And she said that the young people need to do their own thing.
Absolutely. And Yodit, and one of the other inspiring things about last night is none other than Duke Ellington's daughter, as well as Duke Ellington's son, were there last night and played
active. Incredible. I was so astonished. I was like, the Duke Ellington. I know she said Duke Ellington. There's only one Duke Ellington. So yes. That must be them. Okay, wow. Yes. In my mind, they would have been so old, but because my photos right. in my mind of him are black and white. But yes. No, it wasn't that long ago.
Yes, and of course, her name is April Ellington. She was actually on with us, maybe not last week, but the week before, to help to promote the event. And she and her brother know WPFW. It was very inspiring. And of course, they are both affiliated with the Ellington High School, Duke Ellington School. And they brought, I wish I had known before, they brought quite a number of young people from the Duke Ellington School there last night. I don't know if you got to meet any of them, Yodit, but I had this idea, perhaps around Duke Ellington's birthday, which is April 29th, they can come on and bring some of the young people on from the school to talk about what that evening meant to them last night. I was really wondering, and I don't know if
I didn't get a chance to meet any of those other young people, to be honest. I only got to meet the people sitting directly next to me at the table. But I did, the band was sitting right behind me, and they were fabulous.
Yes, absolutely.
Like top tier fabulous. And I'm just so impressed. And my son, now he's going to Jackson Reed, which used to be called Wilson. Mm-hmm. But there was a time when he wanted to go to Duke Ellington. I'm not quite exactly sure what steered him away from the arts, but I told him last night when we were listening to him, I said, you know, you could still transfer. What are you going to do? Are you going to play an instrument? Are you going to sing? Write poetry?
and he has, of course, a time after.
Of course.
After he finishes high school. But Chuck, what do you think about that idea, having some of the young people on in the future who were there last night to share?
That's a wonderful idea to hear what they thought and to inspire other young people.
And inspire them and inform them. We certainly learned this horrific news when we were very young. And also what was inspiring about it, Yodit, was that here is April Ellington, Duke Ellington's daughter and her brother, committed to this fight for justice for Emmett Till. And who would have known that? You know, we know Duke Ellington as primarily a beautiful musician, but I wouldn't have known. I'm so excited that she and their family are involved with this ongoing struggle against racism and for justice. It's very, very inspiring.
That's exactly right. I agree. And you know, when I drove home, and one of the first things when we all got back in the car, Aunt Joyce asked the kids was, well, now what did you think about what you heard today? And I said, what was the most moving part? It was just one of those quizzes. And you know, they weren't anxious to respond to the questions, as kids often aren't, but I paid attention because of the angle where I was sitting. I could see all three of them the whole time, and I could see them taking the information in. Often, yes. One or the other might have a phone pulled out. I didn't see their phones pulled out. And I saw Giselle, she was constantly clapping at the appropriate times. And I'm like, oh, they're taking it in. They're taking it in. I don't have to quiz them this moment, but they got it. I know they got it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, inspiring too, because WPFW, the first song that was played when we came on the air 48 years ago, was Take the A-Train with Duke Ellington. So we're all part of the same, the similar family, and both Duke Ellington's daughter and son are very familiar with PFW. So that was inspiring as well. Your final words, we're going to go out with a little bit of a song from Pam Rogers, In Process. But your final words for today, Yodit, and we're so happy that you can join us. And Jeribu, if you're still on, you can do a quick final words as well.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Jeribu. Yes. So yes. Inspiring. I didn't know you were on the line.
Oh my gosh, right back at you. Oh,
you were so inspiring. Okay. Oh, and
love,
your dress was gorgeous.
Love hearing you, and you just look so much like Dory. It was almost scary. You're so powerful and inspiring. Thank you, sister. And I'm so glad that you brought the young people with you. I look forward to connecting.
Absolutely. And Jeribu, again, congratulations on your award and for all the wonderful, powerful work you've done for many decades. We hope to have you on again in the future to talk more about Mississippi. But Yodit, you have a minute to finish up your thoughts and maybe you quoted, give us the quote that you gave last night about where we are in this struggle.
It's as many others mentioned, we've been here before. You know, it's not the exact same, but history doesn't repeat, but it rhymes. And the struggle is real right now. And a lot of people are catching hell. And we have to just straighten our backs, put our heads up, and realize la lucha continua, the struggle continues, not only here at home, around the world. And so we need to lock arms and straighten up and do what we got to do.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, Yodit and Jeribu. We're going to go out again with Pam Rogers. And again, people you may not know, but this Saturday, there are many, there's a huge demonstration against the war in Gaza, I think also fighting for Social Security. So keep your ears open. And thank you, everybody. Keep your eyes on the prize. Thank you, Magic Mike.
Thank you.
Are you in the process of writing or updating your will, trust, or estate plan? We invite you to consider adding WPFW as a beneficiary through a charitable bequest. Bequests can take many forms and are usually the largest and most impactful gift a donor will ever make. Your bequest will help to ensure the programming WPFW has provided for almost 50 years will continue into the future. More info available by email at plannedgiving@wpfw.org or by phone at 202-588-0999, extension 344. Or you can let us know you've already included PFW in your plans through those same channels so we can add your name to our growing list of legacy listeners. We are listener supported. We are Jazz and Justice. And because of your support, we are WPFW.
WPFW presents Still We Rise, our 48th anniversary celebration on Friday, April 25th, 7 to 11 p.m. at Martin's Crosswinds in Greenbelt. Entertainment includes Navasha Deya and more. That's Still We Rise, WPFW's 48th anniversary celebration. Details at wpfwfm.org.
Hello, WPFW. Festival season is here, and on April 6th, noon until 7:30 p.m., Words, Beats, and Life kicks it off with the Jazz and Blossoms Park Jam. Family-friendly activities, art activations, food truck vendors, and performances will all happen in Franklin Park. Details at wblinc.org/WBLFest.
Hey, this is Alvin Nedab, your host of Music Memories, and my co-host,
Deborah Nedab.
And guess what, Deborah?
What?
We're moving.
We're moving?
That's right. We're moving from Mondays, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., to Saturdays, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., starting next Saturday, March 22nd. And Deborah, guess what?
What?
We're going to still continue to play the best old school music of all time. So we just want you to be there, 89.3.
Greetings. WPFW is pleased to announce the relaunch of our major donor program, now known as the Jazz and Justice Circle. If you gave $1,000 last year or so far this year, you are automatically enrolled in this cherished group of listener members, and we thank you. Benefits of your membership are at wpfwfm.org under the Support Us tab at the top of the homepage is the Jazz and Justice Circle. Interested in joining this select group? Please consider a donation of $1,000 or more online at wpfwfm.org. Your donation helps WPFW build a better world one broadcast at a time.
WPFW swag in your life? I don't dare say I support Jazz and Justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
Hey, Chris Garlock here.
And I'm Elise Bryant.
Every week, we explore labor arts and culture.
On the Labor Heritage Hour.